You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 15.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your host to Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Anne Weiser Cornell. Anne is the founder of Focusing Resources. She is internationally recognized as one of the leading innovators and theoreticians of focusing. She is the author of the best-selling book, The Power of Focusing, and The Radical Acceptance of Everything. Anne's newest book on focusing-oriented therapy is titled Focusing in Clinical Practice, The Essence of Change. Anne, thank you so much for joining me on the Mindful Marketing Podcast. How are you today?
Great. And so glad to be with you.
Fantastic. So I've been looking over and love what you're doing with the Focusing Resources. And you've done a beautiful job taking a mind, body, spirit company and using marketing to the best of your ability to be a success. And so many in our arena of mind, body, spirit call marketing icky. And I'd love to start with that and get your opinion on what you think marketing has done for you.
Well, it's such a pleasure to think about how my attitude toward marketing has changed over the years, because I was there, you know, and when I started trying to build my business and realized that I'm the one who's going to have to do it, my dream would have been, could I just show up and have the clients show up and have the customers show up and, you know, somehow they're just magically there and I don't have to do anything to get them there. That would have been my dream, and all the things I would have to do to communicate my message and make my offers and all of those things, it was like, yuck. But when slowly, you know, I began trying things. I began having conversations with people. I began studying with marketing like gurus, people who I really admired, and started to see that my attitude was really the first thing that was a problem for me. And what I learned was that marketing itself shares the same qualities as the kind of relationship that I want to have with people. In other words, marketing itself begins the conversation. What I want to do is show people how to have a deeper contact with themselves, which is what focusing is. If what I want to do is show people how to be kinder to themselves, how to pause in their day and shift from a stressful state into a relaxed state, I can start that already in my marketing communications. And so there's not really a difference between the marketing, which is the beginning of the conversation, and then the work that I actually do with clients once we're in contact and they're paying me. And when I saw it that way, I realized this is actually fun. And I started to call this empathy-based marketing, that you can have empathy for the people that you haven't met yet, but they're the people who really are waiting to hear your message. And it's from that sense of empathy which we're good at as mind, body, spirit people. We're good at empathy. And from that empathy, write the marketing materials and create the marketing campaigns. And then it starts feeling like fun. Right?
That's beautiful. I love the empathy. I haven't heard anyone phrase it that way, but that's fantastic.
Oh, yes. Well, we have to start with empathy because we have to start with what's that person going through? What's their problem? What does life feel like to them? If we start by talking about ourselves, our own business, this is my business, this is what I do, well, everybody knows that that's not going to work. When they encounter our website or our other kinds of marketing materials on Facebook and so on, what the first thing they want to be doing is feeling understood. We want people to feel understood by our marketing materials. And that means we're talking about their problems, their issues. And we do that from a place of empathy. And then once they feel, oh, this person understands me, they get me. I want to hear something more about what you do. Then we talk about our own business and what we offer, right?
It's all about being authentic to them too.
Very true. Very true.
So what then, what marketing strategy works best for you in reaching your ideal client?
Well, what's been working for me for years, and it actually is kind of worrisome because it's working a little less well now, is email marketing. So having a mailing list that I've built of satisfied clients and people who are interested in my work, having a capture email box on my website where people opt in, and then I have their email, I have their permission to mail to them. I've segmented that list by their interest. You know, some people want to hear everything I'm doing. Other people just want to hear, you know, don't email to me too often, please. Okay. Glad to, you know, glad to respect that. And then, we use Constant Contact as our email marketing because they're one of many that are great, but I'm kind of committed to them and they let us create great looking materials and also keep track and follow how many are being opened and so on. And then, you know, as the years have gone by, I mean, I started doing email marketing, I would say about 14 years ago. I'm pretty sure I did it around the millennium. As the years have gone by, a lot has changed in that world. And one of the things, of course, now is that people read a lot of their email on mobile devices. And so you have to make sure that everything you send can be read on those mobile devices just as well as it can on a browser screen. Nowadays, though, I'm noticing a drop-off. You know, people seem to be reading emails less and various other things may be going on. The big email systems like Google and Yahoo are changing a lot, you know, unilaterally changing without asking their customers if they want this. They're changing a lot in how people read their emails, how people are allowed to read their emails. This has a big impact on email marketers. I don't know the answer to that yet. But, you know, in the old days, I've been in this business for a long time. In the old days, I would mail flyers, direct mail. I'm from the world of direct mail and, that worked. The problem was it was expensive. Every time you send a mailing, you're paying for the flyers being printed. You're paying for the, for it to go through bulk mail. And, it was just so exciting to move to email, which is so much less expensive. And I'm not sure what's going to happen next. Everything, I mean, we always have to be up on the changes. We need to keep our finger on the pulse of what's working, because just because it has worked doesn't mean it's going to keep working in the same way.
That's the most fascinating thing I think about marketing, which I happen to love, is that it's, since it's always changing, you're always learning and you're always on your toes. Like, just because it worked last week doesn't mean it's working today.
You can't just settle. You can't just get complacent. You've got to keep noticing what's going on. And that's why it's really nice to have some tools for, you know, how many of these are being opened, how many of these are resulting in sales, and just to keep an eye on those things. Yeah.
Because I always say, if you can't measure it, you can't fix it. So you can't, yeah, you know, my whole thing is about the energy, right? The energy of the money coming in and out. If you can't measure what's coming in, so that you measure whether it's the energy of money or just your people coming in, then you don't know what you can give back out. So yes. That measuring is so important. Yes. So are you using social media?
Yes, recently. So Facebook is what we use the most. And I have some really great assistants working for me that are younger than me, know more about this than I do. But we did a really, to increase our likes on Facebook, we did a really nice thing recently. We used a piece of software called Woobox, W-O-O-B-O-X, which let us have a kind of not a contest, but a raffle, where if people like our, our business site, this is not, I'm talking about my personal site now, but my business site, if people liked our business site, they would get an entry in the raffle for the free prize. And this is the cool part, if they shared the announcement and if someone they shared with liked our site, that person would get an entry, and so would the person who shared it. So they could increase their number of entries in the raffle by sharing and having other people like. We doubled our number of likes on Facebook. That, of course, at least for the moment, although Facebook's always changing too, but at least for the moment, then your number of likes means that's the number of people who will see whatever you put up there. And we're going to continue to use that method. Every time we've got a new product, we're going to put it up there as a prize and say, do you want this product? And we'd love to give it away to you free. Enter, like our page, enter to get to win this product. I like Twitter. I'm really enjoying Twitter. I probably don't use it a fraction of how it could be used, but I do put up something on Twitter at least once a week. And anybody who follows me, I follow, and I'm building up kind of a world of people who I enjoy listening to and talking to on Twitter. LinkedIn, not so much. I have a presence on LinkedIn. I have a profile. I have connections there, but there's only so much time in the day, and I'm just aware that I haven't yet learned how to use LinkedIn effectively. I look forward to doing that. So those are the three social media places that I really have something going on.
Gotcha. And I love the raffle thing. I have to admit, I have done that for a client recently, and it's been kind of in the background, and now you've said it, I need to go implement that.
There you go. Yeah. It was lovely to see those likes mounting up and like, wow, look what happened. So cool.
So who is your ideal client, and how did you determine who they are?
Well, everybody says find your ideal client, and I find that really tough. I find it a tough question. I think, like everybody, we kind of think, wow, my work would help anybody. No, you have to focus. You have to find. And so I usually just think of clients I like. I kind of remember recent workshops I've taught and yet, it's really hard to find a demographic. It's hard to find a type of profession. So what I usually go by is this feeling that if somebody's going to enjoy working with me, they need to have a kind of inner commitment to growth. They need to kind of be a seeker. And I kept coming back to knowing that, like, that's going to be the one thing that's going to make working with me effective for people. So that's who I want my ideal client. So it kind of circles around, like, to find my ideal client, I ask, what will make being my client work for people? Well, they need to be somebody like this. And I still struggle with that because I'm still, that's supposed to become the first sentence on your website and that kind of thing. And I'm just not so, right now the first sentence on my website is something like, are you feeling stuck? And it's not that my ideal client is a person who's stuck, but it's a person who knows they're stuck, who's reading websites looking for someone who can help, who feels a kind of, I not only feel stuck, but I know there's something better. I know my life is more than this. I know there's more possible than this. And that's my ideal client.
When you're working with these clients, how's the best way that you find they're engaging with you? Is there a certain social media platform where they're more engaging? Or is it a blog? What's the way they're engaging with you the most?
Well, I think what usually happens is we get people to our website one way or another. And that happens in all these ways, either someone has forwarded them one of our interesting emails. I should say a little more about, by the way, email marketing. What I think we've definitely found, and others say as well, is that email marketing should not just be announcements of products and workshops and offers. It really should be value. We need to give value in what we send to people. And that has to do with the whole principle of building relationship, doesn't it? So people maybe just sign on from my email list and they're getting something from me every week that is of value to them. And so for a while, that relationship is just one way. It's like getting a newsletter. It's like getting this email that you feel, okay, that helps me. And then what I like to see is that at some point they say, wow, this touched me so much. I would love to have a session. I would love to have a one-to-one coaching session and find out what will happen if I actually work with Anne. And then, because I also, one thing I really love about my work is that I really understand that everybody has their own time frame. Like some people are really fast responders, fast deciders. They hear about something. Maybe they hear from a friend, wow, this thing really helped me. And they say, I want that right now. And they may call us up, you know, and book a session right away. But somebody else may, the kind of way that they're working is they need time. They need to ponder. They need time to take it in. They need time to research, you know, do some reading on their own. What is this thing focusing? And I love having a system in place. And I think a website is a nice system like that with the email marketing tied in. I love having that system in place that lets people take their time. It really respects. And that is how I work with people too. If I'm helping somebody get in touch with, let's say, a stuck place or a blocked place inside, we always do that with complete respect for their timing. One of my books is called The Radical Acceptance of Everything. So it's completely accepting that the way things are is the way things need to be. So when my marketing methods are consistent with my message, then I know we're doing well. So people will maybe go to the website because they've heard about me, or they've seen me somewhere, they've seen one of my books somewhere, they've heard a recommendation from a friend. But then the website itself, we hope, is an experience. We have a lot of free materials there, and I think that's a good idea as well. One of my favorite marketing gurus is Robert Middleton. He's actionplan.com. And he always says, have lots of free stuff on your website. And so we have articles, we have MP3 recordings, like people can take a whole class on our website for free. We have something called the e-course. It's called Get Bigger Than What's Bugging You. And I just want to give it away. I mean, this is my gift to the world. I just want people to have this for free, and we're getting it translated into other languages and so on. So Get Bigger Than What's Bugging You is these five practices that people can do every day, and it will change their lives already. And so we send it. You can go to our webpage right on the homepage. You put your email in, and then on 5 days, on each day, you get an email with one of the five practices. And so people will sign up for that. They'll try it. They'll take it in. And then they may want, oh, well, now let me actually have a session, or now let me have a class. Now let me buy a book or a CD set or something like that. So we like to provide a place where people can take their time to find their way of approaching this work. And that, I think, answers your question, does it?
It does. Yeah. You know, it all goes back to building the relationship, right? The more tied we are with them.
And let that be a respectful relationship that allows them to have their style. Some people like to read, other people reading. They'd rather listen to something. Other people want to watch a video. So providing a lot of different avenues of entry is really nice too.
I want to hear your personal story, how you ended up in focusing and creating focusingresources.com.
Well, it's now a 43-year long story. Like I was in grad school at the University of Chicago when, and really kind of in a personal stress, mess, confusion, at 22 years old. And some friends of mine said, well, there's this guy who's teaching something interesting for free. Let's go down on Sunday night. Turns out the man who developed focusing, Eugene Genlin, this was before he'd written a book about it. He was only offering it in this one neighborhood in Chicago, in the whole world. It was the one place to be to learn from him in 1972. And it did change my life, but I never thought at the time that it would become my profession. It did change my life. And then years later, after he had written his book, he invited me back to help him teach workshops. And so this became a lifelong journey for me. Not only that I wanted to teach his method, but I also wanted to improve it because I felt what I had learned from him was life-changing, and I felt inspired that I can make this something that's even more helpful, especially because I was facing some really serious life challenges, very, very stuck situations in my life. And I felt that a friend and I made focusing a little different so that it would work for really for these really serious life challenges. So I call my work now inner relationship focusing. Inner relationship meaning the quality of our relationship with ourselves. But when I started as an entrepreneur, you know, when I quit my last salaried job for somebody else, it was such a wonderful moment. It was like a dream come true. I have the temperament for business. I love building a business. I love the communications with people. I love when the cash register goes ka-ching. and I feel that completely consistent with a mind, body, spirit approach. That, in other words, as people who care about that whole dimension of connectedness, interhuman connectedness, and how we're all creating something together on this planet. You know, it's from that we find our right livelihood. And for many of us, that right livelihood is entrepreneurship. It is creating something that's never been created before. My profession never existed before I created it. There wasn't such a thing as a focusing teacher. I was the first one. And that sense of creating out of your own passion and your own soul, your own belief in what you really want for the world. That's what's possible when you're an entrepreneur, I believe. And then, you know, I think the mistake people can make is to kind of start operating at the mundane level of how do I get enough money to pay the rent? And I mean, you have to, of course, keep those things in mind, but never forget that the real reason we're in business is for the good of the world. And that includes ourselves because we're included in that too. So our passion, how we want to serve, always has to come first. It comes as the bottom line. And once I could feel that I was doing that, it slowly built. My business built. It's been 30 years that I've been building my business. It started in 1985. And, you know, today I have 4 assistants. I travel all over the world. I've already been to 5 different countries this year. I have 3 books and another one coming out. I love my life. It's so much fun. But that's because every moment has come out of my inner sense of rightness, my inner sense, you know, even if I need to make a decision about how much to charge somebody, what should be the cost of this workshop? I make that from a felt sense rather than trying to make it logically. And that's what I teach people to do.
Well, I have to say, congratulations on having your business thriving for that length of time. That is a huge accomplishment, no matter what arena you're in. So congratulations to that.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
So, and I love your method with everything. It just, everything needs to feel right. We need to be in alignment when we move forward, which is great.
That's right.
So now you mentioned your book. So let's talk a little bit about you being an author. And did you self-publish those? Did you go through a traditional process? What did you learn? What can you share with us on that?
My three books. The first one, well, the story of how I got to the first one is one of my healing stories, because I always wanted to be a writer, but I had writer's block. And I used focusing, interrelationship focusing, to release my writer's block so that writing is now joyous and fun. And once that had happened, by magic, one of those alignment things where once you shift, the whole universe shifts. I'd been trying to find a publisher. I'd been trying to figure out what book I wanted to write and needed to write. But what happened instead was I got a call from a publisher saying, "We're looking for someone to write a book about this. How about you?"
That's brilliant. I love it.
Okay. I think I'll say yes to that. So that was so nice. That was New Harbinger Publications here in Oakland, California. They're a wonderful publisher to work with. They keep their books in print forever. And they really were so patient and author-centered as I wrote my first book, called The Power of Focusing, still my bestseller, and it's been translated into 8 languages. It's the book where people would go to really find how to do this. It's the basic book. And then that came out in 1996. And then I had a newsletter back in those days that was a print newsletter. I wrote a number of articles, but I began to realize that there were a lot of people in the world wanting to go further with the method who didn't have access to my articles. So I decided to make a book of my own articles, collect them all, write some new articles, really make it my own leading edge, and write little introductions to each article. And that one I felt I would need to self-publish. I didn't even try to find a publisher, because in the world of books, they don't really like collections of articles. They like the book to be kind of more unified than that. It's called The Radical Acceptance of Everything. I self-published it. It's available on Amazon, doing quite well. That came out in 2005. We just had a German translation of it come out in Germany. It's doing super well there. And then I had the same magic happen again, whereas a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I was feeling, okay, time for another book. What should it be? Maybe this, maybe that. And I got a letter from a publisher. Same thing. They said, well, we're thinking of a book about that would be, well, we saw, what they said was, we saw you were giving a workshop at the Cape Cod Institute on this topic, focusing for healing professionals, focusing for therapists. Had you ever considered writing a book on that topic? And this publisher was W.W. Norton, very well respected New York publisher of professional books. So I did that, and they were a great publisher to work with. And that book has been out now for about 9 months and also doing very well, and opened up a whole world of doing workshops for therapists that teach focusing. The next book, going to be for the general public again. I'm not going to say anything right now about that, because we're not even sure what the title is. I do love to write, and it's really part of my mission to bring healing and understanding, relief of suffering, and awakening possibility to as many people as possible. And books are still a very good way to do that, even though the world is changing.
I know I personally like to hold a book in my hands, but with the electronic stuff now, you can get it everywhere. But so you can touch so many more lives, which is great.
It's right. It's right.
So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently in starting your business?
I'm not sure, but it makes me want to tell you a little story about something that I had to be talked into doing that ended up being enormously successful. This was way back before the internet. I had this newsletter called The Focusing Connection. I was creating a brochure for it, a print brochure that I was going to send out using bulk mail. And I had the brochure all put together and showed it to my then husband. And he looked at it and he says, "This has to have your photo in it." Well, believe it or not, I was really reluctant. I felt resistance to even just the process of having a professional photo taken. I had never done that. But he talked me into it. I figured out how to get a photo taken. I put it into my brochure, sent out the brochure. And next thing I knew, I was getting a call from the Omega Institute in New York saying, we got your brochure and we'd love to have you teach here. And of course, they didn't say it's because we saw your photo, but I'm convinced that it was, because it really made it a much more alive and human and personal brochure. And so, you know, nowadays you see people's photos, people understand you have to include your photo. You have to have a photo that doesn't just look stiff. Get a photographer who will see who you really are and who will help you feel comfortable enough and do a long enough shoot is that you can be relaxed by the end of it and you can pick some photos that really look like you want to look to people, warm, friendly, engaging, and whatever it is you want to look like. But to go back to the moral of that story, you know, I really felt as I was starting my business, and I still feel it sometimes now, is that there are a number of things that just feel like, whoa, that would stretch me beyond my comfort zone. And I would say to my younger self, you know, yes, things are going to stretch you beyond your comfort zone. Don't push, but don't back off either. Just hang out there with the awareness that whatever that is, you're going to need to do it. And you can figure out a way to do it. You can get help. You can get support. But you can do it. Oh, and that's the other big thing, Kimberly, that I would say to my younger self. There's a lot more help and support than out there than you you're allowing yourself to know. Like, I tried to do everything myself. And what I understand now is if there's something I don't know how to do well, I can find somebody else to take me through it, to coach me in it, to teach me how to do it for me. There's so much help. And that's really been a big change for me.
Yeah. And you know, that's funny. It's such a consistent theme with my guests. It's like, get help and get the right help and get it early on. It saves you so much time, money, headache, everything else.
And when you're just starting out, maybe you kind of feel embarrassed or you don't know how, or you think that reaching out to someone for help is not a good, that's to really, you know, acknowledge those feelings, but don't let them stop you. Because yes, I totally agree with you. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing about that that's in any way shameful or embarrassing. It's really great to have partners. And the greatest things I've created have been through collaboration. And that's really what we're all about, isn't it? We're joining with each other to help create a world that's more sustainable and nourishing for those of us who are in it. That's what it's all about.
Partnerships are so key, and they just, that's, it's right. The support too. It's just the emotional support you get, if nothing else, of being with a group that has the same goal. It's so wonderful.
Yes, that's right.
Where do you see yourself going from here? You've been doing this for a long time. It looks like it's been fantastic for you. Do you have any new plans, new products, or is everything just feel right for you?
Well, definitely. No, I feel like I have a whole area of my work that I haven't really brought out. And that's where I'm going next. Just sensing, oh yes, everything's doing fine. I have four fabulous assistants who can take care of things. I had an injury earlier this year that sort of knocked me down for a while. And it really was a beautiful experience to see how much other people could take care of things while I was kind of out of the picture. So I can see now that a lot of what I've built can be carried forward without me. What I need to do is ask, what can I do that nobody else can do? So yes, there is a whole area of my work that I haven't developed before. If I think about, you know, looking back on my life, what would I want to have done by the time my work ends? There's a whole area that I still want to do. So that's next.
That's awesome. I love how we just keep moving forward. It's great to know we can always grow.
You know, there's always something next unless it's time to rest, to set down you know, what we're carrying and let someone else carry it forward. And I'm at the age, you know, I'm going to be 65 in a few months, when it's also time for me to look at successors and younger people who can carry the flag. And I'm doing that too. And that's another kind of partnership and collaboration is, you know, how can I pass on pieces of this to others? And there's something exciting there too. I'm not ready to retire, but having been seriously injured, and I'm fine now, by the way, I can imagine retiring for the first time. I can now imagine that someday the day will come when I'll be like, yeah, I think I'll rest today and tomorrow and the next day too.
A little breather. Yeah. Sipping a Mai Tai, right. Looking at the ocean.
Exactly. There might be a day when that would feel good. Yeah.
Last bit of advice you have for anyone starting their new business?
You know, this might not feel very encouraging, but I just want to say to people, it might be slower than some part of you would like it to be. Let it grow slowly. Imagine a garden. We don't expect to plant a seed and see it grow the next day. So plant your seeds and cultivate them and do other things as well. And let what you plant develop, because to build to last, you know, I've had my business for 30 years. And if I look back, I see many things blossoming now that were planted as seeds a long time ago. So plant your garden, cultivate it, let it grow. Some parts of it might be slower than part of you might expect or would like to see. Let it be slow. Let it take the time it needs. Yeah.
Fantastic advice. When we rush things and we look back and we're like, what did we do? We made mistakes. So yeah.
Right. Or we may quit too soon, you know, like, oh, this isn't working. But what does it really mean when something isn't working? It's actually feedback. So often we try something and it's not success or failure. It's feedback. Like, oh, there's something I need to do differently. I can learn something from this. I need to adjust this. I need to tweak it. And so rather than, oh, this whole thing is wrong because it hasn't developed yet. If we think of it as a garden, we understand that, no, it is not wrong because it hasn't developed yet. It's that it has its own time frame, and that we can sense that time frame. If we really pause and don't get caught up in anxiety, we can actually sense the right time frame.
So my listeners wanted to find out more about focusing and where they can find you. Where would they go look for you?
Focusingresources.com.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been so lovely.
It's been so lovely to be with you, Kimberly. And I really support and encourage your work. I know what you're doing is valuable. You're really using your skills and expertise to help people become entrepreneurs who have a real message for the world. So good for you. Keep up the good work.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.